Last week we learned three introductory truths about the Holy Spirit. We learned that the Holy Spirit's work in a life begins at regeneration. That's the moment a person is saved. The lady sang about being redeemed. That's the moment a person is redeemed. That means they're bought back by God. You belong to God at the moment of salvation, and the Holy Spirit makes you alive spiritually. Up until that point, you're dead spiritually. But at the moment of regeneration, at the moment of salvation, you are made alive spiritually speaking. The second thing that takes place at regeneration is the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. He becomes your new companion. He's known as the Comforter. We learned that. He's known as our Helper. He's the one that is alongside of us all the time, through every day, in every situation. When I go to sleep, He's with me. When I awake, He's with me. He's with me all the time. He indwells me. Third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, lives inside of me, and He comes to live at the moment of salvation. Third truth is the Holy Spirit does the work in our life, or in our lives, of assurance, or He gives assurance. We learned in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. At times, Christians are brought back to a bondage of fear, the Bible says, and that is not received from the Spirit of God. That is a different spirit. And when that spirit comes, the Spirit of God comes alongside of us, and He bears witness, or He gives assurance to us, assurance of eternal life, assurance that we are saved and that we are in Christ. The Spirit of God, one of His works in the new believer's life and in seasoned believers, is that He gives assurance. Now we move on to the fourth work of the Spirit, and we find it in your text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, and that is the work of what we call illumination. That is the work that God gives you light in understanding the Bible. I want you to look carefully at the verse number 12. The Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And so when you get saved, you didn't receive another spirit. You received the Spirit which is of God. Holy Spirit indwelling, which we've already learned. But look what it says. Look at the next four words. That we might, what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. What's that? Right here. It's freely given to us of God. God didn't leave mankind without any of His words. God gave mankind all the words that He wanted mankind to know. We have it in our King James Bible. By the way, you need to be aware that there are other versions that change the words of the Bible. When you change the words of the Bible, you change God's words. That's a very serious thing. And so we have the words of the Scripture right here in the King James Bible, and they're freely given to us. So what does the Spirit do? Why did God put the Spirit in us? He put the Spirit in us so that when we open up our Bibles and we read them, He takes the things that are freely given and makes them known unto us, that we could have understanding of them. That it's not like we're reading things that we don't understand. Look at verse number 13. Which things also we speak. Paul's saying, hey, what I'm speaking to you is the Bible. Okay? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Okay? So we're together on a Sunday morning. We're in church together. And we're opening the Word. And I'm doing as Paul did. I'm opening up the Scriptures. And I'm trying to teach the Word of God to you. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher behind the scenes in each and every one of your hearts and mine. And as we're learning the Word of God together, the Holy Spirit is teaching me how this truth affects my life, how this truth affects your life. It is the work of illumination. He is making the word known unto you. This passage of scripture this morning, he wants to teach you and me about. He wants us to get an understanding of this passage and how it affects our lives. These truths about the Holy Spirit, he wants to teach us so that we have an understanding. And notice, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, this is the man without the Spirit. This is the man that is not saved. This is the man that has not been regenerated or redeemed or born again. All referring to salvation, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Spirit's not in him. He doesn't have him as a companion. He doesn't understand. Watch this. For a natural man, the Word of God is boring. You know why it's boring? It doesn't make sense. I don't have understanding of it. I don't have an interest in it. That's why a natural man, generally speaking, is not going to be somebody that's reading the Bible all the time. Now, there are exceptions that God puts within somebody to learn the Bible, and they are reading it, and yet they're not saved yet, but they're searching for truth. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't grasp the Scriptures. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritual things. Watch this. But he that is spiritual, who's that? The person that has the Spirit of God in them. The Bible says, judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. What's that mean, preacher? That means as the Word of God is given, you're judging yourself by the Word of God. That's what a spiritual man does. Watch this. He doesn't judge himself by his friend's Christian life. And he doesn't judge himself by what somebody says that they do and they're a Christian. He judges himself by the Word. The Spirit uses the Word for a man to judge himself. Now, when we get together for preaching and teaching, there ought to be judging going on in the pews. And the judging ought to go like this. Lord, what I'm learning from the Scripture, does my life emulate or show that? Am I practicing what the Bible says? That's the judgment that ought to take place every time that you're in the Scriptures. If you're reading in your Bibles in the mornings before you go to work, or you're having personal time with the Lord and you're reading the Scriptures, you ought to be judging yourself. Spiritual people allow the Spirit of God to judge them. And that's how change occurs in our lives. God shows us something. Ooh, that's not part of my life. Ooh, I'm shallow in that area. Ooh, I'm not strong in that area. Okay, then what needs to happen? I need to change my life and my thinking to conform to the Word of God. The purpose for the illumination of the Spirit, the purpose for which He gives us understanding of the Bible, is not for my knowledge bank to just grow and me to be puffed up in knowledge. The purpose is that I'll judge myself. The spiritual man judgeth all things. He's judging himself as it relates to what the Scripture is saying. My friend, it's easy when you come to church week after week to get out of that habit of judging yourself. And that is the responsibility when we gather together, when you're under the Word of God. It is your biblical responsibility as a spiritual person with the Spirit of God in you to judge yourself. Lord, is this truth? How does this truth affect my life? Is there something that needs to be changed? Is there something that I need to repent of? Is there sin that I need to get rid of? Lord, is there a commitment, a decision that I need to make? Is there a step, Lord, that you would have me follow you in? Lord, I'm yours. Your Spirit has control of me. Judge me, Lord. Judge me. And Lord, whatever your judgment is, Lord, I'll be willing to get that thing right in my life. The work of illumination. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? Isaiah 40:13 asks that question, and the answer to that question is no one. Because the Spirit knows the inner workings of God the Father, like a person knows the inner workings of himself. Now watch this. I can't see everything that's going on in Bev Bowman's life, heart, mind. I can't see all that. She knows that, though. She knows all the inner workings. She knows what the Lord speaks to her about. She knows when her heart's at peace. She knows when there's a temptation she's dealing with. She knows when her mind is struggling with a trial and trying to keep her mind stayed on God and going back to the trial. She knows all those inner workings. I don't know all those inner workings in her life. But I tell you this, I know those inner workings in my life. And the Spirit doesn't need any instruction from anybody. He knows all the inner workings of God the Father and God the Son. Watch this. They are always on the same page. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit is working in your life and in my life, He is working things that God the Father and God the Son are in agreement in. And He's the one doing the work in our lives. The work of illumination. Let me give you a prayer request before you open the Bible and before you come to church. Turn it in your Bibles to Psalm 119. We need to really have an understanding of this work of illumination. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's mind, whereby you are able to understand the Word of God. He makes the Scriptures clear to you and to me. Psalm 119, verse number 18, I think it's a tremendous prayer. I learned this 22 years ago, I guess. I learned it in college. I was sitting in a class. Dr. Marty Vaughn was my teacher, and he took me to this passage. And he said, when you have your devotions in the morning, and when you go to church, you ought to pray this truth. The psalmist prayed it. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Question, Christian, in your Bible reading time, have you had any dry days this week? Say, preacher, what do you mean by a dry day? I mean you read a chapter. I mean you read your portion with the daily bread or Baptist bread or feature booklet, and you really didn't get anything out of it. You went through the motion. You did what you were supposed to do. You took time in God's Word, but you didn't get anything for you. You walked away feeling a little bit empty. Now watch this. The psalmist said this. Here's a prayer request. Lord, open mine eyes today, that as I read your word, Lord, that you may show me, personalize it, wondrous things out of thy law. What's his law? Right here. So when you sit down to read, you start with depending upon the Lord and the Holy Spirit to say, I need you as I read the word today. I need you to show me things for me today, wondrous things out of thy law. Now, my question is this. If you prayed that prayer, do you think God would answer that prayer? Do you think God would be interested in that prayer? If you said, Lord, today I'm opening your word, and as I open your word, I'm asking you to show me wondrous things out of thy law. You think God would incline his ear to that? I believe he would, because he wants to make known his word to us. You're waking up for church on Sunday morning. You're getting ready in the bathroom, and you're reminded by the Holy Spirit, Lord, open mine eyes today, that while I'm at church today, that you would show me what I need, that you would show me wondrous things that would affect my life, that would shield me from making bad decisions where I would go off a cliff spiritually, or where I would end up in sin that would harm me and my family. Lord, open mine eyes today that I may understand your word for my life. Brethren, I believe that if we would pray that way in sincerity before the Lord, you know what? I believe the Lord answers. In fact, I will tell you, I know the Lord answers that prayer. And he'll answer that prayer for you. We must be reliant upon the Holy Spirit in order to take in biblical truth and understand it. And could spend more time on that. But the Bible says that the entrance of his words giveth light. And so when I understand the Bible, guess what? It provides light for my path, for my life, when I allow his words to enter into my heart. Now watch this. We come to church. You come to church. Sunday after Sunday. Wednesday after Wednesday. Sunday night after Sunday night. Sunday school after Sunday school. And it is easy for our hearts not to be opened up to let His words enter. If that happens in my life, what am I walking in? Darkness. What happens when people walk in darkness? They trip. They stumble. They hurt themselves. Christian, it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility that every time I'm coming to the Word of God, that my heart is completely open so that anything that God wants to get there can get there. It is important that I am sensitive. It is important that I am tender. It is important that I am open-minded to anything that God would want to teach me, that He would need to get to my heart to change me. Listen, we're not just coming together to fill a pew. My friend, we're coming together to get understanding so that our hearts can be touched by the Word of God, so that we have light, so we know where we're going in life and how to please our Lord. That's why we get together under the Word of God. That's why we read the Word of God. It's not just fulfilling a duty or a habit that I'm in, but it's to touch my life. It's to touch your life. Every time, it's to touch your life. Every time you read the Scriptures, it's to touch your life. It's for God to open up a truth and bring it right home to you where you live. And listen, the Holy Spirit does that. That is His work. His work is to illuminate. His work is to shed light on the Scriptures so I understand it. Are you allowing His words to enter? Here, the entrance of His words giveth light, the Bible says. The Spirit penetrates the depths of Scriptures and makes those depths clear to those who humbly and diligently and patiently get in the Bible. Listen, He uses the Bible. He draws our attention to the Bible. And so, my question is this morning, how much do you want the Spirit of God to work in your life? That'll be answered by how much you spend in and around the Word of God. Now watch this. He does mighty works. He reveals wonderful things. But if you shut this book off in your life, you have taken away the tool that He uses, the primary tool that He uses to work in your life. If this isn't important to you, then watch this. What you're really saying is the Spirit's work in your life is not important to you. Because this is what the Spirit illuminates. That's why Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and revival services. Listen, I want the Spirit of God to work in my life all the time. I don't want to be a day without the Spirit of God revealing something to me. That's why I read my Bible. That's why I make it a daily priority, because I need the Spirit always showing me things. I'm filthy. I'm rotten. I'm bent on sin. That's me. And that's you too. And if I don't have the Spirit constantly revealing the Word of God and cleansing me of sin, my friend, I'll make a mess of my life. And so will you. We need the Spirit, and we need the Word of God, and His work is illumination. We have not been given the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that He will teach us. But my friend, this book has to become your love. You got to get yourself in it and under the teaching and preaching of it as often as possible so that the Spirit can work. And keep your heart sensitive and tender and open and alert and say, I'm coming to church today and I'm coming to church today, Spirit, for You to teach me. Lord, open mine eyes, shed some light on something that will help me in my life. And listen, He'll do that. Good prayer out of Psalm 119, verse number 18. He increases our knowledge of God. He instructs us in biblical truth, His work of illumination. Fifthly, as we look at the new companion in the Christian's life, we see His work of sanctification. His work of sanctification. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. You're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, we're going to look at verse number 18. Second Corinthians 3, verse number 18. The Bible says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image," that's the image of God, "from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We're new, right? We learned the first message of the year, all things become new. God wants to change everything in us. How does that happen? It happens by the Spirit of God. Say, "Preacher, explain the process to me." I will. The process is this: to sanctify means to make holy, to make sacred. It means that to take something that is common and to make it holy unto the Lord. That's sanctification. The Bible teaches a progressive sanctification from the moment of salvation. Moment of salvation, somebody hears about Jesus dying for their sin. They hear the gospel. He rose again from the dead. They put their belief in that. They repent of their sins and they are saved. From that moment, the Christian life is about a process called sanctification, and it is progressive. That is that God, throughout the rest of a Christian's life, wants to make everything in his life holy, set apart unto the Lord. It's growth. It's how a Christian grows. And so here's how it works. I open the Bible and I find out that fornication is a sin. God says abstain from fornication in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And so I am living with my girlfriend outside the bounds of marriage, and I just got saved. And I come across this teaching. And this teaching reveals to me, watch this, the Holy Spirit has given light. Uh-oh, my life doesn't match the Bible on this thing. Now, what's the change? God's mind and the Bible or my life? My life is to change. So the Spirit illuminates the truth, abstain from fornication. Uh-oh, I'm living in fornication. I'm living with a girlfriend outside the bounds of marriage. That's fornication. What is my responsibility as a Christian? I'm to become sanctified. What does that mean? I'm to make that area of my life holy unto the Lord. What does that mean, preacher? I'm to leave my girlfriend and not live with her. And if she's saved, I'm to go to my preacher and say, "We haven't done it right according to the Bible, and God showed me that, and I don't want to live this way anymore. Preacher, could we get married?" Yep, that's the right move. And until you get married, you don't live together. "Well, preacher, you're actually saying that the Bible needs to change my life." That's exactly what sanctification is. Sanctification means where I'm living, and when the Bible reveals I shouldn't be living there, I change my life. That's one illustration of sanctification. Suppose you're always on your husband's case. You're kind of a nag. And then the Word of God pricks your conscience. And you see from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, that the wife is to see that she reverences her husband. Uh-oh. My life's not reflecting that. Question. Are you to stay doing what you know is not in agreement with God's Word? Answer. No, the Spirit reveals so that we change. So we say to the Lord, "Lord, I haven't been right in this area. I haven't treated my husband like the Bible says to treat my husband. And Lord, I ask for forgiveness of that sin. And Lord, would you help me to begin to reverence my husband? Lift him up. Respect him. Honor him in my home. Not speak down to my kids about him. Lord, help me to do what's right according to the Bible." Suppose you're a husband and you're in that same passage and it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And you just have a conditional love towards your wife. And that means this, that as long as she's treating you right, you're going to treat her right. But if she treats you wrong, you're going to treat her wrong. And God says, love as Christ loved the church. What kind of love is that? That means when we treat him wrong, he still treats us right. He still loves us unconditionally. And you're a husband and you're saved and you get in the Word of God and you see, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Lord, this last week that didn't happen. Lord, this last week I was a little bit churlish with her. I was rough. I was insensitive. I wasn't tender. I didn't love her. I got mad at her when she treated me wrong. I didn't love her as Christ loved the church. Oh, Spirit, you showed that to me so that I would watch this become more set apart unto the Lord. And what does the Bible says? We're changed from our image to his image. So that as I obey the Bible, guess what? My life is constantly being changed over into the image of God. My friend, that is sanctification. And that is a work that the Spirit accomplishes in our lives. Question: when was the last time that God showed you something in the Scriptures and your life didn't match up and you went to the Lord and said, God, I'm wrong and you're right. Your word is always right. My life doesn't match up to it. I'm wrong. And Lord, I'm going to make it right. I want every area of my life to be separated unto you. I want you to be changing my life, constantly making things new. Now watch this. Are you seeing the process here? The process is this. I got to get in here. In order for illumination to take place and in order for sanctification to take place, it all works through here. The more I'm here, the more I give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to teach me, to illuminate the Scriptures, for light to come into my life, to show me, hey, this needs to change. You're not right on this front. You need to grow here. You need to get this out of your life. You need to change this. You need to repent of this. That temptation that you're giving into all the time, you can have victory over. This is how Jesus had victory over it. He quoted Scripture. Hey, let me take you to that passage and give you an understanding of Matthew chapter 4. And all the time, the Spirit is wanting to work. But watch this in Christians' lives all the time. This is being threatened and pushed into the back seat and pushed into the back corner of the bedroom and put on the bottom shelf in the living room. And that's why we are seeing Christians, hear me, who are not on the path to progressive sanctification. You can't be sanctified and growing without this. It's why churches that are entertainment driven and not word driven are not producing disciples of Christ. Because if this is not exalted, my friend, we cannot have people growing. The Spirit takes the Word and He reveals where our lives need to be changed. It is the work of the Spirit. Romans 15:14, verse 16 says, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, set apart. Watch this. If God's Word reveals something in my life or your life, we should never be afraid to say yes to the Lord. Because if I say yes to the Lord and it's in the Word, who am I becoming more like? The Lord. Don't we want to become more like the Lord? So as the Word of God is taught and we learn principles of Scripture and truths and we study Bible examples and all of those things and God says, boom, change this. Yes, sir, Lord. I'd love to change that. Because I want to become more like you. Because, Lord, I want my life to be more distinctively looking like you. That should be the heart of the Christian in sanctification. We teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's part of growth. You get under teaching and we're going to teach all things. And as we teach all things in the scripture, you're going to learn and you're going to grow through that. It's important that we understand the teaching on sanctification. Sanctification, watch this, is obeying my commander-in-chief. It is a wartime word. It has unswerving commitment to a cause. A sanctified person has uncompromising loyalty to the commander that he serves. It's not a casual relationship, folks. He's the commander. I'm on his army. What he says goes. Every time what he says goes. Sanctification is a warlike term. Sixthly, his ministry of guidance. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. God gives us the ability to choose whether or not we'll follow the Spirit, but the Spirit wants to guide us. Romans 8, verse number 14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If we are going to be led by the Holy Spirit, we can only assume that He is willing and able to communicate with us. Hey, go here. Don't go here. Hey, study this. You're going to need this in the future. You ever studied something and you didn't see that you were going to need it, but boy, you were glad that you got it because the Lord was giving you something ahead of time? Guidance of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Acts chapter 11, "And the Spirit made me go with them, nothing doubting." You ever had the Spirit bring up a doubt about something? You're about ready to make a decision. You're 95% of the way there. Oh, doubt. Oh, better step back for a second. Is that coming from the Spirit? Paul said, Spirit gave him direction, nothing doubting. You know what? The Spirit's direction is always clear. He doesn't send us into confusing situations. The Spirit bade Paul go, nothing doubting. You know, he can do that. I've had big decisions. And one of the things that God uses in my life in decision making is counsel. And I'll go and seek counsel. And you know what? Sometimes that is used by the Lord to push me through in a direction I'm already thinking, and it confirms everything that the Lord has been telling me. And sometimes I'm in a situation and somebody brings something up that I haven't thought about. Ooh, 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 ooh. Thank you for that thought. I better think about that a little bit more. I better pray about that a little bit more. Because the Spirit directs. Now, in another passage of Scripture, Paul said the Spirit forbade him to do something. In Acts 16, "But we were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Sometimes the Holy Spirit puts up stop signs. I'm getting ready to spend money on this. Oh, boy, I'm just not at peace on it. Oh, stop sign. Oh, step back from that. I'm getting ready to talk to so-and-so about this. Oh, not timing. I don't get clearance in my spirit that I'm supposed to do that. Where's all that coming from? The Holy Spirit. Because He works in our spirit. He's our guide, folks. We got to remember, we're not out there just making decisions independently all the time of Him. We have the Holy Spirit in us. That if we'll listen, if we'll take time to hear, oh my, He can guide us. Hey, put that track with that waiter right there. Make sure a track goes to that waiter. Where's that coming from? Holy Spirit. He leads, He guides us. It's important, His ministry of guidance. The Spirit helps us to discern between what is true and what is not. What is wise and what is foolish. What is best, teenagers, and what is simply okay. The Spirit helps us to make those choices. Each day is full of decisions. Some of our decisions are not clearly spelled out in Scripture. For example, where to attend school, whether to hire a particular applicant or employee or not, how much to budget for this or that. We're inundated with details, and the Spirit is interested in guiding us. It is His work. He will guide us, according to John 16. One more truth in the last 2 or 3 minutes here. John chapter 14, His ministry of comfort. His ministry of comfort. John 14, look at verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. There's a number of things I want to bring out about the comfort as I close. Number one, there's comfort that He's there. Some of you will be in an alone situation. One of the terrible alone situations that I hate in life is being on a stand in the courtroom. Only had to do it about 2 or 3 times. I hate it. I have no idea what somebody's going to ask me. I feel like I'm on a hot seat. And in some of the cases, they're there to twist your word and all kinds of things. But when I go to that, the Lord showed me years ago when I had to do that once, that the Holy Spirit was right there with me and that I was not alone. There are people in our church, listen, you live much of your life what seems to be alone. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is that He is there with you at all times. Just His presence is comforting. But then He speaks to us. And He knows what to say, and He knows how to say it, and He knows when to say it. The Holy Spirit's words are comforting. What's the primary use of His words? We get back to this again, don't we? I was meeting with somebody recently, talking about devotional life and difficult times of life. And they said this, I just can't get out of the Psalms. The Psalms are so comforting. I can relate so much to what the psalmist is saying. What was that person revealing to me? That person was revealing to me the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I get in the Word, and the Word comforts my soul. Watch this. The Holy Spirit has the ability to take you when you're all revved up, when your soul is noisy, noisy, noisy inside. And the Holy Spirit has the ability to bring all that down and calm and still your soul. He is the comforter, my friend. This new companion that you and I have at salvation, He's absolutely amazing. He is there as your helper and my helper to meet every internal need that we face. Take advantage of Him. You say, preacher, what's the application? The application means you have to give attention. You have to listen. You have to hear Him. Your value of this book has to go up. Your companion requires yieldedness. You know, he can be grieved. You know, he could speak this morning to somebody about getting into the Word of God more, and somebody could blow him off. And you could leave blowing him off and him being grieved inside, him being sorrowful. That I spoke, I tried to help, and I got blown off. It's our job to yield when He speaks. It's our job to submit. It's our job to understand that He wants to make my body holy. I need to have a holy temple so that He can live comfortably inside of me. I can't take things into my body. I can't do things with my body that are against God and against His Word and are sinful. I got to keep a holy body, keep myself holy. I have not revealed all of His works. I have only revealed some. But what I have revealed, here's my prayer, that it stirs in you. I want an open relationship with the Spirit. I want Him to work in my life. I want to hear him. I want to draw close to him and open up numerous opportunities in a week through his word to talk to me so that he can accomplish his work.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.